Many years ago, when I was, I guess I would have just been 12 or 13 years of age, I was a seventh grader. You've heard a story that I've told you in the past. And I don't need to go over the story, I'll just tell you the incident. You remember, I've used it before. But I was in a public high school, a public junior high school, and I got in a fight. Imagine that. And I was kicked out of school for 3 days. And in my home, my dad always said, as a pastor, he always said, first of all, you represent wherever you go, you represent Jesus Christ. And then he said, you also represent me, my ministry. And that was always very precious to me because my dad was my hero. And so I remember when I came home from getting kicked out of school. Many people want to know what my dad did, and I said, it's none of your business. No. But I can't help to think, as I was studying here on mercy this week, what a wonderful example of a father that knew all about me. And he knew how bad I was taking what happened. He knew there was probably, because he knew me so well, he knew there was probably nothing that he could say to even correct or anything that I hadn't gone over, that I was not kicking myself, that I was not, I mean, I could barely look my father in the eyes. And we always looked at each other in the eyes. And I can't help to think of how he handled that mercifully. By the way, you reap what you sow, so there was some punishment in there, which was correct. But there could have been so much more and there were things that even happened. Now, this is mercy. How many, if you understand, my home was a very strict home, but it was a loving strict. That night, that Thursday night, I think it was a Thursday, whatever night it was that I got kicked out, came home. That night, I was supposed to, or the next, that night, I was supposed to go with my dad and two of his, one assistant, in fact, one of them was Dr. Cummins, who his daughter will be here in a couple weeks, and his secretary's husband to the Tiger baseball game at Tiger Stadium. Now you got to understand that a seventh grader, that'd be big stuff. And Dad still let me go. I thought that was out. In fact, I really probably didn't have a great time. I remember being there and the men trying to sort of pep me up. And he just said, Mark's having a hard time tonight. And I remember Dr. Cummins, when he was at the office, when I had to call my dad that I got kicked out of school, the first thing Dr. Cummins said to my dad was, well, did he whoop him? Folks, we have a Heavenly Father that knows you better than you can even imagine. He knows everything about you. In fact, you are so wonderfully made. He knows every part of that wonderful made person that you are. And he has given us mercy. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5, as we look at the fifth beatitude, where Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed, we'll look at it again in a moment, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, the fifth, sixth, and seventh beatitude describe the fruits of the work which God through His Spirit performs in the hearts of His children. And as I've looked and studied, different men have mentioned justice was the heart of the soul of the law. Mercy is the heart and soul of the gospel. A man goes on and says, "He who shows no mercy destroys the bridge over which he himself must pass." See, mercy is an attribute of God. And so the first four Beatitudes deal entirely with inner principles, principles of the heart and the mind, as we've mentioned. They're concerned with the way we see ourselves before God. The last four are outward, which is a manifestation of those attitudes that we've looked at on the first four, the inward. In other words, in verse 7, those who in poverty of spirit recognize their need of mercy are led to show mercy to others. Those who mourn over their sin are led to purify of heart. Those who are meek always seek to make peace. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are never unwilling to pay the price of being persecuted for righteousness. You see, the concept of mercy is seen throughout Scripture, from the fall of man to the consummation of history, as Jesus Christ will return someday. Mercy is a desperately needed gift of God's providential and redemptive work on behalf of sinners. The Lord requires His people to follow His example by extending mercy to others. Mercy's extension. Why are these four outward extensions? Why is mercy first? Well, as one man said, because it is what we experience first when we're saved by Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for His mercy, we would not have an opportunity to receive Him as Lord and personal Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we read in this passage the recognition that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed. How the believer can obtain this blessedness? How can he obtain this happiness in his contentedness, as God would favor him and be well spoken of? How can you have this wonderful blessedness? The recipient is only those that are merciful. And so this morning, I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture, this verse here in verse 7. And first of all, realize as we talk about this merciful, that many people have interpreted this beatitude in a selfish way. In other words, I need to show mercy so that someone will show mercy to me. That's what this verse is talking about at all. That's a self-seeking mercy. Oh, I'll be nice as long as so that they'll be nice to me. We're going to learn and see that that's not it at all. You see, when God is involved, there will be mercy for mercy. That's not among men. God's works the way, but the world that way, but the world doesn't work that way. So the fifth beatitude does not teach that mercy to men brings mercy from men, but that mercy to men brings mercy from who? God. And we're going to see as we come to the end, and I'll repeat it again, it's really mercy's cycle. God's mercy cycle. As God is merciful to you, you are merciful to His saints and to others, and He in return is what? Merciful to you. And so we see, as we look at this, let's look first of all at the definition of mercy. Mercy is really love for those in misery, and a forgiving spirit towards the sinner. It embraces both the kindly feeling and a kindly act. Of course, we see it exemplified in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, and we'll look at that in a little bit. And we see it especially, of course, in Christ, where he says he's the merciful high priest in Hebrews 2, verse 17. His goodness, mercy is his goodness manifested toward those who are misery or distressed. You see, in grace, God gives us what we do not deserve, while mercy in return does not give us what we do deserve. That's where we're at. And so as Edmund Hibbert said, a good definition of mercy is the outward manifestation of pity and compassion in kindly action toward the misery of another. It looks not at what the man deserves, but what he needs. Let me ask you, what do you need this morning? Do you need a Savior? Have you already received Him as your Savior? Did you know until you came to that point in your life that I'm in misery, I need a Savior? That's where it starts. Mercy is an attitude of compassion toward those in distress that leads to practical help. It deals with the needy in terms of what's needed rather than what is deserved. It's the idea of maybe stepping into their skin and seeing it through their eyes. It's a sense of pity plus a desire to relieve the suffering. It has the idea of loving kindness, steadfast. It's a love is who God is. Mercy is what God does. Roland McKeown continues and says, love is who God is and mercy is what God does, but so mercy is the outworking of God's love in practical realm. You see, this is not mere natural mercy, or occasionally found among men, because that's out of our nature, but it's the mercy grown out of our personal experience of the mercy with God. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior here this morning? If you have, you've received God's mercy. Do you realize what that mercy involves about you? You're poor in spirit, you mourn, you're meek, you hunger and thirst after righteousness. For we see that genuine compassion that we see is something that is a disposition. And so there can be no mercy apart from justice. Somebody has to pay the price. You cannot extend mercy until you've received mercy and realize there's a power to hurt. Peace at any price is never a basis for mercy. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It's demonstrated this way. It's genuine compassion expressed. It's demonstrated in genuine help, selfless concern expressed in selfless deeds. Mercy is meeting people and their needs. Not simply feeling compassion, but showing compassion. Not only sympathizing, but giving a helping hand. Mercy is giving food to the hungry, comfort to the bereaved, love to the rejected, forgiveness to the offender, companionship to the lonely. It's therefore one of the loveliest, as one man said, and noblest of all virtues. God demonstrated his mercy towards those that love God and fear him. He's demonstrated his mercy as he told the parable of the unforgiving servant. Remember when Peter asked the Lord, so how long do I need to forgive? How many times do I need to forgive my brother? And the Lord goes into a parable saying there is this one servant where the Lord, he owed him a lot of money. In essence, he owed him so much in the language, if we had time to go over the whole parable, he owed him so much that it would be impossible for him to pay it back. And so he goes and he goes in front of the Lord and he asks for his mercy and he says, I will pay you back. Well, he knew he couldn't pay him back. It was so much. It was impossible. Well, the Lord granted that mercy to him, that forgiveness to him. And he went about and went to someone that was under him that owed him 10 bucks, 20 bucks. And he says, be merciful to me, I'll pay you back. That man could pay him back. And we see God gives an example of what mercy is really all about. You reap what you sow. You and I have been, God has been merciful to us. Why would we not be merciful to others? It's seen in the woman in adultery, taken in adultery. Remember that? Ye with the first, without the first sin, you know, you cast that stone without sin. They all left. And he asked her, so where are all your accusers? This was Jesus Christ saying this, the Son of God. And she says, well, they're not here at all. And he says to them, neither do I condemn thee. But then what does he say? Go and what? Sin no more. He doesn't relieve and say, oh, it was okay what you did. No. Stop. Time out. No. He says, you go and sin no more. There's mercy and forgiveness. And he showed that mercy. There's mercy towards those that seek salvation, for it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's towards those as God is full of compassion based on his mercy. As we've read this morning, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because the compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This mercy has divine distinctives when we think of the mercy of God. It's eternal. It's boundless. It prolongs life. It encourages to repent. It forgives sin. It makes salvation possible. As I was studying this week and reading, one man said that a photograph or dimensions of mercy is seen wonderfully in the parable of another parable of the Good Samaritan. You know that story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 33, we see the truth that it brings out. What mercy does? Mercy sees distress. Did God see our distress? Yeah, sure did. Do you see others' distress? We had better. Number two, it responds internally with a heart of compassion or pity towards a person in distress. Did God do that to us? What started this Good Samaritan to go and help this Jew that was forbidden to do because he was a Samaritan? Number three, mercy responds externally with a practical effort to relieve the distress. Think of what the Good Samaritan did. He saw the distress. He responded internally. He had a heart of compassion for the men. Well, the others that were even religious went by and didn't. There were even Jews himself. And he externally, then, that compassion so inwardly brought about actions that speak louder than words. And he wanted to relieve the beaten man. And he did, didn't he? And the last principle is mercy acts even when the person in distress is an enemy. That's mercy. I'm not telling him, let him go. Huh. You know what he said about me? Huh. That's not mercy. We see a wonderful example in the Good Samaritan. And so God directs us to the mercy of God, and he directs us to do several things. Number one, God's mercy directs us to lean on God's mercy, to trust God's mercy. Psalm 52, verse 8 says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord mercy shall compass him about. He directs you and me. We are to lean on God's mercy. We're to look for God's mercy. Jude, verse 21, says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We're to look for God's mercy. We're to love God's mercy. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require thee but to do justly? What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He directs us to long for God's mercy. In the psalmist, the psalmist says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude, thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. And then in Luke it says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a what? Do you realize who you are this morning? Even though God saved you, do you realize every day his mercies are anew? We need to live God's mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. By the way, the Bible says in Psalm 85, it says, mercy and truth have met each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And so we're to live God's mercy. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the tablet of thy heart. Then thou found favor and good understanding of the sight of God and man. With the merciful thou shalt show thyself mercy, and with the upright man thou shalt show thyself upright. Paul says in Corinthians, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Ooh, you mean even my enemies? Oh, I got to be kind to this guy. I got to show mercy to this guy because God showed mercy to me. And he's saying to the, can you imagine what Paul was like in front of kings and his enemies? He was pretty stern at times, but he just spoke the truth. He spoke the truth in love. But he says here, as he practices the word, I need to show mercy and cheerfulness. The joy that God gives you and me to be merciful to others because he's been merciful to you. That's something God has given every believer here this morning. Natural man doesn't see that. Unless it's for their own, they can go up in the ladder. But God's given that a privilege. Folks, I hope you go out of here this morning. God's given you and those that know Christ, a privilege of being merciful to others. Not getting what they deserve. Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. James says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. And then we're to sing about God's mercy. I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will praise, O Lord, thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore, for great is thy mercy towards me. Do you believe this morning that God's mercy is great towards you? Or are you pretty good? Are you all set? I got news for you. If you have even come close to say, well, I'm doing pretty good, boy, you need the mercy of God right now. And he's showing it to you. Because remember, he knows all about you. He knows your heart. He knows what's best for you. He knows what you're going through and what you're trying to do. He knows all of that. And so he's going to show his mercy to you in a perfect way. My father couldn't do it in a perfect way. He was a sinner. But he knew me. And he showed me mercy. And probably a lot of other times through my life growing up. I wonder, in showing mercy, if that isn't why we have a lot of kids that grew up in homes not following the Lord. Now, they have their own choice in grace. That's not what I'm saying. But I just wonder if we've shown mercy. By the way, you can show mercy, and people still can choose and reject God. Take a look at the time that Jesus lived on the earth. Take a look around you. Is God not have mercy out there and people rejecting it? Just don't believe the mercy. They not let it internalize. I can't help but think, and my wife and I have talked about this, and it's only by God's grace that any of our children, right, because I thought of all the things that I was so mercifulless. Sometimes we're not willing to admit that. I'm always right. You mean I made a mistake? Yes, that's what I mean. You did. Because you're a sinner. And it's God's mercy and grace in your life and in my life that He gives us. And He keeps saying, because of His forgiveness, because of His mercy, He keeps saying, I'm having mercy on you. Will you show mercy to others? And I'll still do it as you have mercy. Boy, we've got to get down there. And you know, there's sometimes, and it's sometimes, folks, that you have to just plead God's face and say, no, this needs to happen. And other times you can say, no, that doesn't have to happen. And I can't tell you when that is. The Spirit of God can, though, in His mercy. Because we do reap what we sow. Because there is judgment. Remember what she said? Go and sin no more. And if she went and continued to sin, there would have been a price for that. But did you know, even in God's forgiveness, His words, there's mercy. Did you know, even when you set down a something, there's mercy in that. Because you are keeping someone from making further what? Mistakes. That's mercy. You see, as we sing of His mercy, the Bible says, blessed be God, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So as we display this mercy, how do you show mercy? One commentator said they gave three practical steps, and let me just give them to you. Number one, mercy is to be shown through physical acts, as did the Good Samaritan. In serving others in need, we demonstrate a heart of mercy. Number two, mercy is also to be shown in our attitudes. Mercy, in other words, does not hold a grudge. Mercy doesn't harbor resentment. Mercy doesn't capitalize on another's failure or their weakness or publicize someone else's sin. When you think of the application of the Good Samaritan and the priests and the others that pass by the one that was hurting, think of this. When they pass by on the other side, as the priest and the Levite did in the story of the Good Samaritan, they show they've passed by Christ also. What does Christ say? As you've done unto the what? The least you've done unto who? Me. You don't show mercy, you're passing by Christ. You think you've got the answer to everything, you're passing by Christ. Number three then is, mercy is also to be shown spiritually. Mercy is to be shown through physical acts. It's to be shown in our attitudes. And mercy is also to be shown spiritually. How do you do it? How do you see that in your spiritual life? Well, it's got to be shown through pity or mercy. Because we've experienced God's mercy, we are to have a great concern for those who haven't. This morning, have you received God's mercy? Then you and I need to have a great concern, as Christ did for you personally, for others, because they need that mercy. They need to see who God is. We need to show spiritually through that pity. Remember what Jesus, some of Jesus' last words on the cross were? What were they? One of them was, Father, forgive them for they what? No, not what they do. Would you say that's mercy? His last words on the cross. Stephen, when he was stoned, that either he saw that or heard about it or whatever, but a few years later, as he was stoned, he looked up into heaven and saw God on the right hand, Jesus on the right hand of God, and he looked up into heaven, the brights, and what did he say? Father, don't hold this to what? Their account. In his death, he realized what mercy does, and what they need is God's mercy. And what you need this morning, what I need this morning, is God's mercy. He showed it to me in my salvation. And then in my everyday life, I need God's mercy. Yesterday, last night, we wanted to go out. And so we said, well, it's either, we didn't want to sit down and eat, you know, anything heavy. But anyways, we thought, well, let's go to Glastonbury and go to the Chick-fil-A. And I said, well, Glastonbury over there is, well, the town is pretty stringent on eating in there, in places. And so, sure enough, went there and you can't eat inside. And it's too cold. I don't want to eat in the car. We take it home. It's cold. So we decided to go over to Five Guys. They're closed. We said, well, let's go down to Chili's. Go into Chili's, go in there, there's people in there. Sign on the door. It'll take 2 hours before you to get, because of lack of people to help. I will tell you, my heart wasn't showing too much mercy or meekness at that point. Then, to top it off, on the way going and back, their construction at night, and it was lined back, miles and miles back going east. So I decided, well, let's take the scenery. Let's go back to Portland. Let's take 17 on down there and take 16 across. And we come. We get back here. I said, okay. We should have called ahead. And said, okay. We went to Wendy's. We go to open the door. Closed. Sorry. The line is long right back here. It's like 7:30, something like that. Let's go home and fix us something to eat. We go back and said, hey, let's go to Subway. Subway was open and we were able to get something. All of this time, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't like my attitude. It was not good inside. It was starting to come out, I think, to Brenda a little. In other words, when she goes like that, it was come pretty big. And God prepared me all week. I need his mercy. I know that sounds stupid. I need his mercy. You need his mercy. Don't be high on your horse. You need his mercy. Because he says, as we're willing to confront others about that mercy, as we're willing to pray, as we're willing to proclaim others for that mercy, we see the reward, for they shall obtain mercy. You see, it's God's cycle of mercy. God is merciful to us by saving us through Christ. In obedience, we are merciful to others. And God, in faithfulness then, gives us more mercy. Guess what he gave me last night? As I asked him to forgive me for that attitude, guess what he gave me? His mercy. We made it home without hitting any deer. The back way there. He showed his mercy. You see, we do not earn salvation by being merciful. We must be saved by God's mercy before we can truly be merciful. We cannot work our way to heaven because we're so merciful. No, we're merciful because God's been merciful to us. He doesn't give mercy for a merit. He gives mercy in grace because it's needed, not because it's earned. Did you know you don't earn that mercy? It's given to you by God's grace. It's an inward benefit to our own soul. Proverbs says, the personal man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. To our own business, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And I believe C.H. Spurgeon put it great when he said, if mercy be thy friend, mercy will be with thee in temptation to keep thee from yielding. It will be with thee in trouble to prevent thee from sinking. It will be with thee living to be the light and life of thy countenance. It will be with thee dying to be the joy of thy soul when earthly comfort is ebbing fast. And you know what he puts at the end of that? He puts Psalm 89:1. He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Because that mercy comes from God's justice and from God's judgment. Because of God's person, as we meditate that it's a tender mercy, it's a great mercy, it's a rich mercy, it's a manifold mercy, it's abounding mercy, it's unfailing mercy that will never leave you. It's an undeserving mercy, for deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice. Putting a few ideas together, listen to what a good conclusion to the whole matter would be. Followers of Jesus must be men of mercy and women of mercy. For they have found mercy, and mercy has found them. As we look for mercy of the Lord in that day, we must show mercy in this day. For the world cannot see mercy apart from the people who experience it and share it. You and I are those people. You want to be favored this morning? Be merciful, and you will obtain mercy. Our dear Heavenly Father,